Translation. The very day and moment the personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, left this earth, the personality of Kali, who promotes all kinds of irreligious activities, came into this world. Purport. The personality of Godhead, and his holy name, qualities, etc., are all identical. The personality of Kali was not able to enter the jurisdiction of the earth due to the presence of the personality of Godhead. And similarly, if there is an arrangement for the constant chanting of the holy names, qualities, etc., of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no chance at all for the personality of Kali to enter. That is the technique of driving away the personality of Kali from the world. In modernized human society, there are great advancements of material science, and they have invented the radio, internet, WhatsApp, and so-called whatever else. I don't even know. I'm not technical. How you call this new app for broadcasting? Zoom. Zoom. Okay. I lost myself here. Modernists today invented radio to distribute sound in the air. So instead of vibrating some nuisance sound for sense enjoyment, if the state arranges to distribute transcendental sound by resounding the holy name, fame, and activities of the Lord as they are authorized in Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, then favorable condition will be created. The principles of religion in the world will be reestablished, and thus the executive heads who are so anxious to drive away corruption from the world will be successful. Nothing is bad if properly used for the service of the Lord, as we use all for the service of the Lord. Okay, verse again. The very day and moment the personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, left this earth, the personality of Kali, who promotes all kinds of religious activities, came into this world. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. So first of all, I just thank all this congregation to get involved in the classes, at least in the weekend. So that just can say to all of us that all doing all right, they're fine, they're meditating a lot, thinking deeply, and sharing with us here. Because I myself most often don't even know what to speak about, it's kind of a little bit burden. So it's good that they get involved. Slowly we create normal situation here, at least this way. Hare Krishna. Okay, we have some notes, not so sorted as a little bit messy in that regard. So they said, the very moment the personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna left this earth, the personality of Kali, who promotes all kinds of irreligious activities, came into this role. This is very significant. Because there cannot be anything else but Kali in the absence of Krishna. Soon as there is no Krishna, Kali is there. It's kind of like default. One end of the creation, whatever. See. Soon as he leaves the place or leaves our heart, there's nothing saintly anymore there. So that's how it happens. Where there is light, there is no darkness, or vice versa. See. Where there is darkness, there is no light. Even if there is a little bit light, like some piety, a little bit something, some God consciousness. So in that degree of this, Kali will be held back proportionately to that, see. So evil in this world is not yet fully prominent, so Kali Yuga didn't yet sway completely just due to few pious persons existing. So, and when piety completely disappears, the other day Radha Mohan gives some brief on it will be a horrible situation. It will be absolutely no any decency, not any human behavior, just beastly mentality in everybody. See, evil 100% will engulf everything. So we are still there. There's some piety. There's still some truthfulness left. See? There will be like also not even light, literally not light. There will be people living underground like rats. See? Like rats underneath. And if there is now, this piety keeps rats away, like, like a cat. But if a cat is there, smell of cat, rats just don't come. Or even if cat smell the rat or something, she comes there straight away. So to hold Kali back, just have a cat. Keep him away. He cannot enter, he just can't. Two things can't mix together at all. So each one of you is source of this light that keeps Kali away. You may think, like I'm so dim light, insignificant, small. But even this, whatever you feel, is helping to hold Kali away. See, even this, all of you. Anyone who acknowledges the God, see. Even if a little bit acknowledges God, this gives some light. A little bit. Glowworm doesn't matter. Few glowworms or many glowworms create some lightning. See, remember, as a kid, we used to catch those light forms, how you call them, in summer. They have once my friend he put up in the glass bottle, all of them. It's some light there, like funny, So it gives some light if it's many together. Now, question, for example, in regarding of this, even if a little bit God consciousness keeps Kali away, this light, see. But what about those who accept higher authority, some God consciousness, but they are fanatics? There's definitely God consciousness there, isn't it? See? What is in their mind? Fanatics. What is fanaticism anyway? You kind of grasping something very fanatically, see. You get particular idea and you hold on, see. This kind of sign of insecurity is first place. Fanaticism, son of insecurity. You hold to something, you grasping, thinking, I hope this is true, otherwise, I'm doomed. See? Also, on doesn't even accept possibility that this may be wrong, what he's doing, due to fear. See? Because, therefore, if you do anything to maintain that, that's a fanaticism. See? It's simply lack of intelligence. Because one doesn't take time to study or even practice other paths, therefore holds very fanatically to this place, see. Because when he analyzes, like all of us, analyzes something which is easy, like, I kind of know this go there, but, contamination, attachments. So he tried to find something most easy, kind of sifting through all these paths, judging, okay, this part, that part, okay, I'll accept this one, because, why? The easiest method grabs, according to him, so doesn't need to be too much austere, and then just accept something, kind of easy form of salvation, kind of. Minimum austerity, and then it keeps association with like-minded people like that. So once I met one person, he kind of, because I'm spiritual, I'm seeker for last 10, 12 years, and I'm kind of going around and seeing, judge, kind of analyzing. And I think I'll become Muslim, I think Quran is straightforward, because, many Muslims think that just to accept Quran, accept Allah, you don't need to do anything else. That's it. Many other religions also just label yourself as a particular, and so that's kind of, you're not ready to grind down your anarthas. That's the most, what people hesitate to accept, rigorous practices, see. Like in 60s, acid heads, LSD, very easy. Any idiot can go and buy LSD and have some realization, whatever it is, so kind of. In other words, creates mess in your mind under illusion of advancement. So purport, if there is an arrangement for the constant chanting of the holy names, qualities, etc. of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no chance at all for the personality of Kali to enter. That is the technique of driving away the personality of Kali from the world. So obviously, topic in this verse in purport is chanting. Anyway, what's the use of talking anything else? Because those actually who are hooked up on chanting seriously on deeper level, they're still around. They're still around. This holds them. So confusion will come to everybody, but this essence, you get a little bit something in, it holds you, see. Because chanting is heart and soul of Vaishnavism. You know, you cannot chant unless you are Vaishnava, really, and vice versa, you know. You cannot be Vaishnava but not chant. That's how I know. And here I'll kind of focus on one item of chanting, one item of sadhana, which is japa. Because, as I always think, you find something which is most therapeutic for you and hold to that most. And I have to admit that of all forms of devotional service, chanting, particularly japa, gives me the most. That's something which, by some fortune, I kind of... Anyway, not to go into that. Prabhupada says, in our Krishna consciousness movement, we have recommended that if neophyte chant at least 16 rounds. This chanting of 16 rounds is absolutely necessary if one wants to remember Krishna and not forget him. Of all the regulatory principles, the spiritual master's order to chant at least 16 rounds is the most essential. This is Prabhupada's purport from Adya Lila. 22.113, if you want to check. So if one actually sticks to chant 16 rounds steadily, year after year after year after year, and one will develop taste, there's no question of that, you see. And there is taste, what's happened automatically, desire to increase more. You know, something happened tremendously, you know, so very, very effective for the mind. You just keep steadiness, see. But kirtan, for example, can be more trapping, see. Because if you are a little bit good, pratishta creeps in. You know, you just any kind of thing which you show off to group, you know, you cannot help that that's how it is, you know. It'll creep definitely in. So, especially young person. Every young person wants to be famous. Doesn't matter what it is. All of us have. Even old person. It's not that I don't want, you know. Like, there's something. Because why is that? Pratishta is a lust, most formidable, most strongest lust anartha which holds to us. Pratishta. You know. And due to that, all other anarthas come back. So you just, you know, that's the truth, that's the reality, you see. But in japa, it's kind of a little bit less chance, although, of course, there is lots of pride there. But it's you and Krishna, you know, kind of, it's personal, you and Krishna. You know, in regard of fame is actually one of the opulences, six opulences, but actually fame, it's just part of all of those rest of the opulences, because you cannot be famous for nothing. You know, if you're too beautiful, it's a fame. Too rich, it's a fame. Renounced, it's a fame. And then it itself, there's no fame itself. You have to be something to be famous. So in that sense, therefore, you know, fame is most strongest. It's pervading. And also as a pratishta, fame is just part, just main part of pratishta, is to be famous, to be something, to be outstanding, distinct, different, separate. I'm full of it, so I don't need to write a book about it. There's a mental desire for fame, pratishta. So if our only weapon is one of those, I mean, to be famous in some way, or take shelter of security, one of the opulences, is only that what we're thriving on. So this kind of saddest illusion, you know, initially, definitely, you know, you get fed up on it, you know, you feed on it, you're thriving on this, you know, if nobody acknowledges you anything, you're going to leave if you are not really understanding and, you know, accepting Krishna deeply in the heart, you know. So you need this food initially. So Prabhupada said constant chanting, that's a way to drive away Kali. So that is a technique for us to be free from Kali's influence. We have discussed above or anyway. So how to come to that state of constant chanting? So imagine Prabhupada said in Prabhupada, it should be constant broadcast of Krishna's glory, Krishna's name on the media, on everywhere. So I don't know what that would produce. Like some, if not many, or most, will be rebel against. We cannot impose on them. Can you imagine, like, whatever you turn on, Krishna Katha or Mahamantra radio, everywhere. You know, there's so many people who just don't want that. You know, like many times some festivals, you know, people come complain, what's that? You know, you guys drive me nuts, you know. I have very good quality music over there, and blues, rock over there, you know. And you guys, you know, why don't turn off and do acoustically or something? You know, that's obvious. It's not that all of us, any of us, was attracted to this. I mean, we are all special souls. You know, I have my moments also that was just something all out of this world. But in general, you know, it's like, what's that, you know? I remember, like, when was, maybe some of you remember, movie Hair in the 70s. It's an amazing movie. This was my, like, I watched like 10 times. It's about hippie culture and stuff, you know, freedom, Vietnam, you know. But within that, I mean, music is very well made, like blues, something which is, you know, I like to listen. But then there's a Mahamantra there. So when I heard this first time, Mahamantra, in this movie, and the devotees are there, this kind of stadium, some festivals, and the devotees try to distribute something there. And Mahamantra, they choreograph Mahamantra in some funny way, like pregnant woman flying or something, you know. But it's beautiful melody. And I remember, what's that Hare Krishna? I was in this kind of hippie slogan, which means nothing. It's just like hippies are crazy, you know. I was one of them, you know, anything goes. You know, what is that? It's kind of catchy. What is that? What is that? Until much more later, I realized Prabhupada mentioned, hey, this mantra which I heard in this album, you know, it's like somehow, I don't know, it's just a few words there, but it's, I don't know, it's, you know, you can concoct something, but it's just somehow, it's just different, you know, like, you know, anyway. So it may be attracting Mahamantra for many. Most of them, they don't know. So, and definitely, if you will do this constant broadcast, it will be clear separation of evil and good. Because people will rebel against, wage the war maybe against us or something. Any purport further. So instead of operating some nuisance sound for sense enjoyment, if the state arranges to distribute transcendental sound by resounding the holy name, fame and activities of the Lord as authorized in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, then favorable condition will be created. The principles of religion in the world will be reestablished. So although it sounds unpalatable to many, it would be. That's how it's reestablished peace in the world, see. It would be amazing that all available media, which is there, would be just used to broadcast Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's qualities, philosophy, Mahamantra, of course. It would be amazing, like, you know, but to bombard somebody's ears with Mahamantra, you know, would be rebellion initially, see. I mean, there are so many topics in material world people broadcast, you know, and I never, you know, it's kind of not fully fulfilling. It's just temporary excitement and, you know, something missing there, seriously, see. You know, and also, you know, engaging you more in material conception of life, because it just gives you more hope. Yeah, there is, although this doesn't give you, but then gives you hope. Yeah, yes, just continue and something else would come which will finally make it for this permanent happiness. This hope drags you because, you know, we are happiness-seeking entities. Anyway. But the topics of Krishna are very fulfilling, very, very, you know, I just don't know. But you have to just need some time to realize that. That's the thing. To arrive at this realization that is very sweet, that is very fulfilling, you know. So it is a huge task on us People cannot arrive to that conclusion unless, until they get an understanding, philosophical understanding. What means this philosophy? What means Mahamudra? What means our constitutional position? So that they need some, so broadcasting knowledge is a kind of preliminary stage to educate society. Otherwise it would be like forcefully enforcing religion, like some countries forcefully enforcing religion. You know, you may lose your head if you don't accept. Like, you know, of course, in Vedic times, God consciousness was enforced by Rajarshis. But it was not so many sects and madness. It was enforced by Rajarshis, and people were happy. See, but in this day and age, you cannot enforce anything, because spirituality, religion, must be voluntary and is indeed most effective. When nobody forcing you to anything, when you accept, when it's your choice, spiritual life must be your choice. And no way you can enforce to anyone. See, that's how it is. And best way to help people to come to that is when they see, by example, happy, enlightened, spiritual people, normal, not fanatics, which we should be. Somehow or other, we should be. Okay, more chanting. It's interesting that somebody said, you just chant, that's the thinking of Krishna. You know, you just chant. Chant and chant and chant. See. But even greater result you will get if you think of Krishna. Because what's that mantra? When you do purification with Achaman, Sabahya Abhyantara Shuchi, what's that? Ya Pavitrova Sarvastam Gato Pivaya Samadari Pundari Kakram Sabahya Abhyantara Shuchi. There is mentioned thinking, you can be free. I think I have somewhere here. Yeah. Oma Pavitra Pavitrova Sarvastam Gato Pivaya, so forth. He said, purified, or even having passed through all situations, one who remembers the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is cleansed within and without. So, Abhyahya Abhyantara Shuchi. So, we have to remember, thinking of Vishnu. So, how to come again to this level of constant chanting? As I say, must be important first, that there is nothing more important as chanting. In your life, there is nothing so important as chanting. This is the first thing. Because even devotees cannot chant for so long, isn't it? So, constant broadcasting, holy name. We may drive also, some devotees crazy, see. Why? Because the other things creeping in our consciousness. That's the thing. You know, cannot chant for long. We are restless, mood of passion. So therefore, our activities are set up in such a way that, you know, we have so many other ways to engage our madness, passion. Because Prabhupada said, if one try to imitate Haridas Thakur, chant for long, you go crazy. This is for very advanced persons. See? I hope at the end all of us will be able to do this. See, but one must endeavor to practice slowly, see, to cultivate. So set this goal in the mind. That's it. And every now and then, rise the bar, rise number of rounds. At least every few years, more. So it doesn't take long before you can't accept it as a norm, as a standard. You can't, you know. That's a way to hammer on. And to do this, one has to improve quality, because no way, mechanically impossible. Impossible to increase number of rounds if you're mechanical. There's no way. You know, you cannot force your breakthrough. I just read some of the Prabhupada's memories. I think Brahmananda's biography with Prabhupada. There's one devotee who was there. You know, at some point, he didn't even, I think in the first temple, 26th Second Avenue. You know, he was just chanting and chanting and chanting. God knows how many. He stopped to eat even. He was just chanting and chanting. But he was unhappy, they could see. But he was chanting, tried to force. Kirtananda told him, you cannot force your way to Krishna. This is not the way. He was chanting. And eventually, you know, Prabhupada heard of it. He was unhappy. He told Prabhupada something, I want to die, or something like that, you know, like, yeah, I want to die, you know, how can I, something. I don't know what Prabhupada said, but eventually, anyway, they send him home, and then he kind of drift away. So you cannot force, you know. Because if you try to force, you know, your mind will throw you down, like, Jai Shishra, Gokulananda. There's some important notes here. Point about chanting, there's a higher stages in, it's a very interesting lineage here, thread, that as there is many stages in devotional life, in progression, there is also in the chanting. Base, chanting is just physical sound, audible with physical sound, called Vaikari Vak. There's a great seminar, Bhaktivedanta Goswami, Anavriti Shabda. So base is just Prabhupada also. So this was his first instruction to first newcomers. You know, Prabhupada, what should I do with my mind? Prabhupada said, what's the question of the mind? You just chant and hear. This is great instruction. This is the first level. Vaikari Vak, just chant. That's a level. And indeed, you try that. I find something very blissful. Just kind of to drown my mind within the vibration of Maha Mantra. Like, you can feel yourself like Gulab Jamun. Like Gulab is totally saturated with vibration. Don't think anything, just, it's very blissful. You know, so it's just giving relief from all its thoughts, constantly bombarding the mind. So, you know, that's a very blissful. So, like Gulab Jamun. Juice is the holy name, and you are like Gulab Jamun. And what happened? Krishna may come and eat you. He may come. May come. It will happen one day. If you make proper offering with love, Krishna, Gulab Jamun is for you. And he comes, just it plop, okay, finish your material life. So that's, speaking about levels. I had some notes about all this Anariti Shabda. I was really studying this seminar, but maybe I should try to, you know, to see. Vaikari is a ground sound. This although it can give you bliss, this Vaikari Vak, just audible physical sound, but this is offensive level, is considered. Offensive level, because you accept sound, vibration, see. Starting point, most of us. I don't know if I have more of this, but I had some notes on it. It's best if I don't waste time now, but you know, I have notes about really very interesting, you know. So you have to endeavor to come to the second level where you, first is Vaikari Vak, there's all this Pashyanti Vak, I just forgot everything, it's kind of terms of Vedic. This is how Brahma creates the world also. They're using this, you know, from the gross sound which he pronounces, you know, how manifestation takes place. That Lord Brahma, when he creates, he does know what will be outcome, final outcome of his creation. He has a mantra. He chants the mantra perfectly and something comes. Even he's surprised, what is that? Therefore, sometimes he's kind of blows up, you know, creates unfavorable things. If you read Srimad Bhagavatam, creates rakshasas who attack him or something, or snakes. Therefore, Brahma is I think, fourth canto, I don't know, third canto, when Brahma, during creation, constantly dropping off his body because he does boo, you know, creates something, oh no, and then leaves his body, literally. It happened many times, 5-6 times if you read. Leaves his body and out of his body, which is laying down, something like it's created fog, snakes or something. So that's you know, you vibrate some mantra and something comes. So that's so from this basic Vaikari level, you have to come to the second stage, to meditate, to develop feeling. It's like pouring the ghee, you know, pouring ghee and the fire burns. Anyway, I just couldn't find my notes, but it's interesting. So the same way, there's a level of chanting also. It's not just hear and chant. Yes, great. But then you have to meditate on Krishna slowly. Sabakya Bhyantara Shuchih. You know. And indeed, if you have experience, when you meditate on your, like maybe some Ishtadev, your favorable deities, and chant really the absorption, gives you this some other, you know, extra boost to chanting. So meditation, of course, should not be enforced, but meditation, thinking of the Lord, not just chant. Because we said, okay, I just chant, but I do all kinds of stuff. You know, you may claim, Prabhupada said, chant and hear. You know, some people watch TV by chanting, you know, watching movie. Oh, great. I watch 2 hours spectacular movie and I finish my rounds also. You know, it happens, seriously. Like, or, you know, some people I know who are attached to sports, you know, where it's football cup, you know, this can help and must watch this, whatever. And they chant, you know, so you can chant like this. Is that thinking of Krishna? Not at all. It's some deep level down there, something happening. Definitely, there's no loss, but you could do much better, see. So improve the quality. Impossible to be mechanical to improve. No way. You cannot force. So it is essential to develop this kind of, not to be mechanical, to have simple life as possible. This, I kind of meditating on that. It's essential to have simple life, see. Not to follow demands of the mind. You know, even in basic things, day-to-day life, see. Because simplicity is a great asset for chanting. It's kind of simple. Because complicated life of anything leads mode of passion. In mode of passion, impossible to chant properly. No way. It's not possible. Any mode of passion is just kind of all the place, yeah. Even in name of service. Sometimes it's needed. But in the name of service, it's just all over the place. You just finish your somehow numbers you promise. You'll be under pressure, see. Because mind is kind of used to think of mundane things. We are all over the place. So to think of mundane things with attraction or with distaste, still your mind is dwelling on mundane things. It's entangled, definitely, you see. You have to discard, kind of force, not force, but how is it? Shravana, manana, smaranam. So that means shravana. You have to chant, and then kind of, as I said, saturate your entire existence with Maha Mantra. Chanting, thinking, reflecting, remembering. That's the way. And you will definitely develop taste. Over the years, see. And this kind of transports you on another level, definitely. Like, if you just study day after day after day after year, you know, it kind of transports you to some other level, yeah. Just maintain steadiness. In proper chanting, again, Prabhupada's quote here, therefore, one must chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra according to the principles of above words. One should note in this connection that chanting involves the activities of the upper and lower lips as well as the tongue. All three must be engaged in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So I'm going to use something. Lower lips, upper lips, tongue must be engaged in chanting Maha Mantra. The words Hare Krishna should be very distinctly pronounced and heard. Sometimes one mechanically produces hissing sound instead of chanting with the proper pronunciation, with the help of lips and tongue. Chanting is very simple, but one must practice it seriously. So this is a Prabhupada instruction, to engage lips, tongue, see. Because if you want to chant, you're chanting to be audible, then it should be distinct, see. Don't hiss, something, or murmur, somebody murmur, like Gayatri. Gayatri is to be murmured. Mahamantra is to be clear. It can be quiet, but can be clearly distinct, or whisper silently. Of course, you can chant very quickly like this. Some devotees chant 4 minutes, 3 minutes, you know. I don't know, is that heard properly? You know, a few times the devotee said, I hear in my mind. The rest, you don't hear, but I hear in my mind. The point is that in your mind there's so many things. A Maha Mantra may be one of them. So when you come to that stage of Paramahamsa, then you can chant in your mind. It's mentioned, chanting in mind is much more powerful than audible. But this is for Paramahamsas who already have steady in mind. So for example, when you hear Prabhupada japa, you hear his chanting. Even if you try hard, you'll think Prabhupada is missing names. Did he was that? Can you say Prabhupada chanting is improper? You cannot say that. You know, when you come to that stage, therefore Haridas Thakur could chant so many rounds, but he didn't chant 8 rounds like me. Or I'm chanting very often 10, 11 minutes. You just, you know, if I'm not attentive, it goes very quick. If I'm attentive, it goes even more. Haridas Thakur chant was very quick. This is Paramahamsa. They can, you know, their mind is controlled. Mahamantra is inside, Mahamantra is outside. That's the thing. Not to give you japa class, but just to point one thing to watch out is name of Hari, Hare, is most of the time mispronounced or not even there. Because I guess it's hard for lungs. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Hare. There are three Hare in one row. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare Hare. Beginning of next one. And then this one is missing most of the time. You may hear on the mind. For me, it's kind of annoying when I hear. It's not that I'm perfect. Somebody, you know, a few times I was reprimanded as well. But obviously, you know, something is missing there. We may chant this for a long time. There's a benefit, but I don't know. I don't want to go into that. There are different opinions of devotees that you can hear in mind or Krishna Vimekat. But try to initially get into habit, hear distinctly full mantra, and let others do also, others hear as well. This kind of sacrifices you, like, yeah, Krishna, I want you, Hare Krishna, yes, you know, Hare Krishna, you know, you don't kind of dedicate your time to Krishna face to face, full mantra. If you are just happy to finish your rounds, that's happened. You'll finish your rounds, but you'll be eventually finished by your rounds. It's hard because it's just struggle, you know. How long, many, like, it's an incredible thing that many devotees heard Maha Mantra, many devotees, I mean, initiated, somehow they drift away. Maha Mantra didn't creep on deeper level in their life. It didn't do this too, you know. Unfortunately, a few years back when I was really bewildered about affairs, ISKCON, even process, you know. There is a particular website that all ex-ISKCON devotees, they kind of gather together and write their very offensive statements, you know. And one said, he said, 2 years chanting and it's so useless and doesn't do anything. He cannot cure even mouse from his fever. Or his, what's that? You know. Affect me, you know, this kind of reading, because it's first new coming devotees, they're writing there after they left, you know, this happened, of course, there was many reasons they got trashing left and right, they were immature, you know, dropouts, I call them double dropouts in the beginning, first they drop out from, you know, from normal societies, become hippies. And then from that hippie stage, they drop out from that something so weird, outlandish, to become Hare Krishna. No proper behavior, no understanding, no, you know. We are lucky that we have many still, old-timers who went through thick and thin. And then they're carrying this movement on their backs. By their experience, their example, their endeavor, their steadfastness, regardless of everything, gives us so much, gives me, I'm here. And just they're still here. Not that everybody's gone. So Anyway, so if you are not hooked on bhajan, no external activities will make, you know, after some time, fulfillment will not be there, see. You may endeavor for fame, distinction, name, great kirtaniya, whatever it is people trying to do. Thrive on that for some time. You may get that, but this is not food for the soul, see. As I said, many ecstatic devotees, really. I'm always reading some biography of Prabhupada and from his disciples. I'm always have time, I like it. So many of books, besides regular studying, I just like to read. Incredible, you know. It's like, for me, more important Shastra than Shastra I read. You know, just practical example of how they went all through. Just I finished Hayagriva's book, Hare Krishna Explosion, you know. There are some devotees tend to criticize Hayagriva, you know, for his translation of Gita, whatever, you know. But my goodness, he was a serious devotee. He tries best according to his ability. And indeed, New Vrindavan, together with Kirtananda, would get the place. Hayagriva was key person to just not give up. Just said, I was asking myself, what am I doing in this place? It was such a wild, in winter time, possible to live there. Old house there, my goodness, you know. Like, you know, cold, and somehow, you know, you look down website of New Vrindavan, my goodness, just incredible. You know, all these austerities they took on, you know, this is a fate of Prabhupada, just. And, okay. So now, I'm just thinking about this situation now, lockdown. You know, now we feel pressure all. You know, you have this desire to express ourselves some way or other, you know, it's so confined, like in a cage, cannot do this, cannot do that, you know. You have to raise your voice, you know. Come out from anonymous crowd, do something. Not just devotees, everybody does that. There are millions of videos there, people try to do things according to their position. Do something. But it's very hard and hard and harder to impress anyone. People get zombified by all the situation, see. And your attempts may be frustrated also, see. Therefore, I'm just thinking it was never such an important moment up till now to have this developed connection with the Holy Name, with Krishna, personal growth, personal absorption. Because to have it, to give it, you have to have. That's the thing. It's a time to break this shallowness, really, in deeper level. Like, it's a good time to absorb. To be ready to be anonymous with Krishna face to face. Single you with Krishna. You must be there. This is something which take you through all these difficulties. We are all just beginning, all of us. You know, when you read all this, among devotees have left, is incredible, ecstatic, serious, knowledgeable. Many of them don't even practice any spiritual life. So to be strong enough must be this personal, deep connection with the Holy Name. I have not all of the place, but I'll stop here. If somebody has to share something ecstatic, you're welcome. Yeah, sorry. I don't know, they are ready or not. Just speak, it's fine. Yeah.
Comes and disrupts you, or like if you go out for Harinam and you know you come back at like to your room at like 3, and then somebody's sleeping in your bed, and you get so frustrated, you're like, I have to go to Mangala Arati at 4
Beat
o'clock.
Up and
you know, so is that kind of anger that for Krishna justified, like for your japa and for your own sadhana justified, or you need to work on that anger or that frustration?
First you have to see, is that really for Krishna? You know, we tend to be disturbed all the time. That's one thing. You know, I can testify myself, you know. You know, I try to absorb in the holy name, and it gives me a lot. But, you know, tolerance level is, you know, I like to point finger. Prabhu, don't do this. To, you know, like, everybody knows. I'm really heavy. But if I wouldn't chant, it would be impossible to deal with me. It's impossible. Like, I don't know. And so, is that really a disturbance due to Krishna? Another point is, you know, there's a way to say things. There's a way to explain. Just, you know, there's a way to reprimand someone without being offensive. You're like, you sleep in my bed, just grab him down the street, like stairs or something. You know, there's a way. So actually, that's one thing very important, crucial for happiness, that wrong relationships are cause of all miseries. Proper relationships are cause of all good fortune. It's very, very simple. All, whatever you see, people go through ill, whatever it is, wrong relationships. And then opposite is true. Proper relationship. I mean, even for the sake of forget Krishna consciousness and Krishna, relationship with devotees gives everything, opened up. Krishna doesn't need to analyze. You know, what's your sadhana or something. It gives you intelligence how to, that's the thing, proper relationship. So now, if somebody comes and disturbs my japa, I mean, if it's not tolerable, I walk away. Sometimes, I mean, I kind of very annoyed when somebody's chanting too loud. Like, and I can't try to tolerate, and if I see it disturbs me, instead of trying to, you know, create a whole scenario in my head, what I'm going to say to him, to really say something which will just devastating. Just keep mouth shut and just walk out. Another thing, I like to have earplugs. It's very helpful, actually. Put your earplugs, even if you see some extra noise, it's kind of very loud. You are enclosed in the head, it's like in submarine. Maha Mantra is very, you can hear. Yeah, and you can really hear. So, this one thing. Another thing, like I remember Mahatma Prabhu, I attend some of his seminar, japa, whatever. He said there was one devotee I was chanting, and he would come, senior, Prabhupada disciple. He would sit next to me, and when he would start to chant, it was just so loud and bearable, you know, just. And the next day happened the same, and God, I was thinking. But now I was thinking, Krishna, why I'm getting angry? Why? Okay, let's be tolerant. And I very quick. I was all right, I didn't even notice it. So, anyway, that's the way. And besides that, I mentioned different japa retreats and stuff. I was very much against different japa retreats because I was really hooked on that Prabhupada statement. What's the question of mind? You just hear and chant all this, you know, process how to chant properly. There's so many japa, whatever, retreats in our movement. You know, how to chant. Just think it's just a waste of time. I don't need that. But point is, we need that to come to the next level. You know, this is Vaikari Vak. It grieves tremendous. I mean, you must have our experience if you're able to do that first level. Just absorb in chanting. My goodness, just like, you don't care anymore. It's a, you know, end of the world, who cares? You know, it's kind of, it's a great level. But there's other stages also. Anyway, I just kind of recommend you this Anavriti Shabda seminar, Bhakti Vigyana Swami, on Desire Tree. I just forgot, I wrote these notes years ago, I was fascinated. You know, you can connect with chanting. And also, these levels of chanting, you can also connect with, you know, Sambada, Abhijaya Prayojana also. It's actually incredible how trace goes to all our process through this. Sambada, Abhijaya, you know, Prayojana, all this different sound vibration from Vaikari Vak also just can really very nicely can be harmonized with that. So, all this. And I was thinking this morning also, you know, in a Gurvashtaka prayers, also is that, first samsaradava, your first appreciation for great personality, you know, you appreciate, you know, and then you get initiated, you know. So he gives you this sambandha. And then what he does then, engages you in deity worship. What does that? Guna nama rupa. What you realize with worshipping, you realize rupa with Krishna, form, and then you get attracted to that rupa. And then what happens? Chaturvidha Sri Bhagavad Prasad, this rupa, form, Krishna reciprocates, gives you his remnants. So you can connect to that also. And what's happened next? Attraction to Leela comes. Shri Radhika Madhavayura Para Madhura Leela. You get attracted to Leela. What happened then? You engage in Leela. Nikunjayuno Bhakti. You become like a servant of gopis. So it's all connected. You know, Nama, Rupa, Guna, Leela. Sambandha, Abhyaya, Prayojana. All these levels. It's so connected, incredible. Like, I'm just thinking, like, sometimes I have those patterns for New Age meditation, whatever. On the screen, you have this kind of pattern just flying, or you feel like flying through. All these patterns are developing, you know. And each of these small particles is part of a big picture, which is also the same. Like, even in nature, you have these leaves, different kinds of leaves. Even small corner of the leaves exactly is a shape of big leaf. And each particle of this small leaf also is the same pattern. How incredible creation is. The results of our process is like this. There's no difference in one sense between Nama, Rupa, Guna, Leela, and then different levels of sound vibration. It's all connected, but it's deeper and more intricate and more. It's an incredible process. So it's not like when we go on the street that we just give some vibration and then we try to, you know, convert somebody, you know, like our holy name is so intricate, it's just kind of seed of creation, seed of entire creation, this holy name as a first, you know, beginning the seed. We are not just a bunch of clowns. Sometimes appear that we are on the street, you know, but so intricate, you know, we get the initial kind of, this is a seed, like when Brahma creates, you know, he gets the seeds and seeds growing. Like Vishnu, yeah, Vishnu creates the seeds, and Brahma, Lord Brahma, disseminates the seeds, sow them like in the field for creation. Every universe is in the form of seed at the beginning. Just a seed, and it grows, like an egg, Prabhupada said, like a seed. Just seeds, it sows the seed, universe is growing up constantly growing up. Interesting, in that connection again. Anyway, there's no breakfast, but... But when today is mean, we celebrate Lord Varaha Dev's appearance. It's interesting that when Lord Varaha came, that first there was deluge, you know, and then earth in some parts of Srimad Bhagavatam scrubbed, this entire Bhumandala was thrown on the depth of the Garbhodaka ocean, you know. But this was all in process where Brahma was still creating the universe. Still. He was creating the universe, and then demigods came to complain. What's happening with Mother Earth? She, you know, she is down in the bottom of Garbhodaka Ocean. And Brahma was thinking, God said, while I was busy creating, Earth is already thrown down. I was thinking, what should I do? How can I rescue the planet Earth? And he didn't know what was no bloody... Sorry. There was no idea how he's going to do. But then from his nostril... Small speck, red speck came, like a dust, small, and then grow on the size of a thumb. It was Lord Varahadev. So Brahma was just puzzled, didn't know what to do. But then the Lord came. Brahma didn't think, okay, I have a plan, Varaha will come, you know, I'll bring Varaha and he'll create. He didn't know what to do. It's totally puzzled. So it's just kind of example that we are totally puzzled in something. You don't know how to solve. Krishna kind of creeps in. So Brahma didn't know what to do, and Lord Varahadev. And then he grew very quickly, like amazing effulgent boar. And then he entered deep down in the ocean. I said, when he entered into Garbhodaka Ocean, it was so forceful. Can you imagine this situation? Garbhodaka Ocean, just vast winds and waves, scary, like, you know, horror movies, like horror. And then Varaha comes, golden form, golden red, whatever, and enters very forcefully into the ocean. He said when he entered the ocean, he almost like split ocean in two with his hooves. That ocean was terrified. He said he rose up his waves like a hands, you know, up. Please don't destroy me. Don't split me apart. You know, and then he entered very forcefully down. He went down to bottom of the ocean and he lived the earth. But then on the way, Hiranyaksha came. So he's in some, you know, I don't know, is it each time when Varaha appears, Hiranyaksha is there, but he said due to the deluge, earth was down, but he's mentioned in Rav Srimad Bhagavatam, for this Varaha particular, that Lord, Demon Hiranyaksha, he threw the earth down to the bottom of the ocean. So he was carrying the earth on his tusks, and then Hiranyaksha was there. And he ignored him first, didn't absolutely ignore him, he just first, we have to save the earth. Paritranya, sadhu nam, vinashacha, dushkritam. First, save the devotees and then deal with all these demons. So he came back and then killed Hiranyaksha. That's interesting. I'm going all over the place, sorry. If anyone has something to say, advice.
So throughout the class, you mentioned instances of improper chanting, and you said that there is some benefit, there's no loss or diminution. But I'm just trying to figure out how that balances with like offenses to the holy name. And when you say there's no loss, what are the consequences of causing offense to the holy name, and how does that balance?
Consequences are that your account is frozen. You know, it's frozen. It's still you adding up. But, you know, it may take some time before effects happens. You mean, it's like, what's it said? Even as in any way you chant, it's mentioned, you know, a holy name. Even in offensive manner, and even in for the sake of mocking others. And even if you mock devotees, ah, look at those Hare Krishna, you know, like madmen. You say Hare Krishna. It adds to your account. It cannot be, it never be diminished. Doesn't matter how demoniac you, but it will be frozen for some time, account. So as an intelligent devotee, of course, we know, why should I rot so long in this material world? You know, you always work on to improve. You know, we are so conditioned. I mean, I'm just scared of my past, you know, like it's a network of madness that I'm almost like split personality. I don't even know who am I, you know, which person am I. There's so much rubbish there, you know. It's like, but you have to, you know, slowly just stay in endeavoring, you know, this will be chiseled away, you know, like, you know, taken away slowly, slowly. So you make offense, you know, yeah. Of course, it's mentioned sometimes that your spiritual life can be diminished completely. Of course, when these offenses really overburden you completely, like big boulders, pull it down. But it's still, is your account there. You know, therefore, it's mentioned, Bhagavad Gita says that, you know, those demoniac, I cast them life after life down, you know, because they call themselves demon. On purpose, they are demon. But as soon as they become devotees, that's it. They're not anyone, you know, cast down. See, that's a kind of like a label. You're a demon because you feel, you behave. But as soon as you accept, you're not anymore a demon. So in that way, you forever cast them down, forever, forever. But when you become devotees, forever is finished. There's no forever anymore. So our count is there. You know, but as you know, we all reflect. We all kind of meditate. How can we improve, all of us? You know, we're making offenses, of course. It's so conditioned. But, you know, try to, and Krishna helps, you know, devotees help, entire process helps. You know, this is like, almost like a recycling area, a recycling department. We are not yet there. I mean, I'm not there, most of us maybe. Like a recycle, okay, dissect this, dissect that, you know, clear impurities. So these are our processes. Here's so much offenses, you know, kind of dissect slowly and okay, next section. Now, kind of ready to next stage. So, you know, you try to diminish our offenses. You don't do on purpose. Our condition is there, you know, apiche suduracharo, you know, we just by condition, by habits, by you do something here and there, boo, you know, and you feel down. But this feeling down is good, it's purifying. So go back, just mention details of your question.
I think you've answered it, but it's, yeah, it's just how the, your
oh,
point.
Oh yeah, there is a benefit of chanting.
Exactly, yeah, like no loss and diminution, how does that work with offenses, but as you said, it's frozen.
So. Yeah, it's just frozen. And then, like, also, once Gurudas spoke with me, I was really in bed. From a period when I was kind of bewildered, you know, I was speaking with Gurudas from Leicester. He's a brilliant. He's good. Very funny. And he said, listen, this is how it is. You may think there's no benefit on what you're doing and there's just nothing happening. He's like, but he said, like, his guru told him, he's like a Kandabakana Swami. He said, it's like a, you have like in forest, a kind of stream or small river, you know, kind of gushing down. And then there is a big log suddenly on the way. And then it keeps builds up and it creates completely dam. There's no water going through. And water is building up and building up and building up. At some point, he's going to break through. He just wash all the way, make bank for itself. Just wash everything down. You just go. You just, you think there is no. You continue. You keep building up. Keeps building up. And on point, you just you shoot you. Maybe to Golok. That's how it happens. So you just have to stay, Prabhupada. If you stay, this is your success. Definitely, you know. Anyone?
Okay.
It says at the time of death, it's a very disturbing situation, and we're supposed to chant at the time of death. And, you know, it occurs to me that this, you know, so you don't even you're not looking at who's there, who's disturbing you. And what reminded me of that was this Trinadapi Suni Chenataro Eva Sarsnunas. That says you're humbler. You're not concerned with other people. What you're concerned with is what you're... it means you're insignificant. You know you're insignificant. And I saw it once, I think anybody visualized it. It was when they were building the extension the Panchatattva building for the new deities. And there were workmen, this was all the Japa period, going with their pneumatic drills.
Drilling, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so much noise and so much noise. But I looked around, the devotees were so fixed in their japa. They weren't taking any notice of what was going on. In other words, it was like, you know, they weren't concerned with the workmen or the disturbances or anything like that. And that's Trinadapi Sunicharna. They just wanted to chant. It was their japa period and they knew they had to chant and they couldn't let it go. And it was an amazing experience for me anyway, to see, like, and that's, you know, it's like a practice for a time of death, actually. You know, is that your concerns aren't there, but the concerns should be for chanting the holy name. And I've seen it with Mother Kalingana, you know, that actually, even... at the time of her departing, she was still hanging on to the holy names. But also, I noticed when we went to see people that were leaving their body, Mother Kalingana was trying to get everybody to chant, and she had it with such conviction. And she wasn't looking at anybody, wasn't chanting properly or anything like that. She was just getting everybody to chant. the power of the holy name is underestimated. Because we, if we're not careful, get so analytical in our is this right, is this right? It's a bit like a person who's trying to shoot an arrow. If he analyzes too much, he's not even, he misses. He's thinking about himself and his body, and this person's shooting like that, and that person's shooting like that. But they aren't focused on the target.
Very good.
Mother Kalinganna's approach was to chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Mm-hmm. And she did it, and she did slowly. She used to take 10 minutes around sometimes. 12 minutes.
I take so much.
Just chant, she said. And to experience that is a very wonderful thing. And on what happened in Mayapur, just those people, this was their japa period. It was really precious. So they weren't concerned about what was going on. Just had to do the best.
Just value importance of something.
Yeah. They just got on with the business. Yeah. No concern. And that's Trinada Pisoni Channel.
Yeah.
They weren't concerned with anything.
There's nothing more important like holy name.
Yeah.
Nothing more important. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Thank you, everybody. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanande, Hari Gauranga.